All right, we're in Jeremiah. I know the time, so don't worry. So here's what's happened, all right? The nation of Israel has been split into two. Solomon is off the scene. Now there's a nation of Israel, northern kingdom, and there's the nation of Judah. The northern kingdom has and forever had wicked kings in place. They've deserted the Lord. The southern kingdom has kind of gone through this phase of revival and then getting backslidden and revival and backslidden revival. The last revival, this third and great revival under Josiah, that eight-year-old king, when they find the scroll. And it's early in, that's happening early in Jeremiah's ministry. And that's where Jeremiah comes in. So the nation has had the revival and now is in its decline. And this is going to be the final decline for the nation of Judah. I mean, they're not bouncing back from this. Morally, politically, ethically, every way you can imagine, they're just plummeting away from the things of God. And that makes then the understanding of where Jeremiah gets his title a little easier, because he's known as what? The weeping prophet. Jeremiah preaches for 40 years. For most of those 40 years, anybody know where he preaches from? Prison. Because the message that he's giving is not a popular one. He's literally being imprisoned several times over, let out, back in prison. But most of this 40 years, he's preaching from prison to people who put him in prison because they don't like his message. They're trying to silence him. And Jeremiah just keeps giving the truth that needs to be heard. And so I want to look at this this man tonight, Jeremiah. We're doing Sunday nights, kind of doing character studies. And Jeremiah, this weeping prophet, while he spent a lot of time weeping, he writes the book of Jeremiah and the book for its weeping of Lamentations. And while with all of that, he finds something that gets him through all of it that I want to end with tonight as we kind of look for this. We're in Jeremiah chapter 4. Turn there, please, chapter 4. We'll read a few verses in Jeremiah chapter 4 as we're kind of looking at why Jeremiah is this way. While you're still turning Jeremiah chapter 4, the nation at this point, which is unraveling, has kind of taken two sides politically. Some of them are turning to Egypt. Egypt, it's believed, may be on a rebound and kind of up and coming yet again. The Assyrians are kind of going off of the scene. The Babylonians have kind of stepped in and have taken over. And so some of the people of the children of Israel think that their salvation is going to be found in the nation of Egypt to get them back on track, at least politically. And others believe that they can trust Babylon to keep its promises. And so you've got this divide that's taking place politically and all of these things that are taking place. We're in Jeremiah chapter 4 in verse 14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. The way, thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth into thine heart. My bowels, or this is the way of saying my heart is breaking. I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Father, we pray that we would see Jeremiah's heart tonight. The God, as we look at our own society and our own situation that our nation finds itself in, that we might be broken of the condition of our nation, that we might be willing, like Jeremiah, to proclaim a truth, unpopular though it may be, but the truth that would set free the hearts of men. And Father, we will thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sad part about Jeremiah, the book, the sad part about this story is he preaches for 40 years, and as far as we can tell, the scripture records not one person responding positively to Jeremiah's message. Everybody despises Jeremiah for it. There is a situation where a group of people come and petition the king, say, you know, Jeremiah's been in prison wrongly, we need to get him out, and they pull him out of the dungeon, literally. The Bible literally says they take old rags and they make a rope and they lower it down and they pull him up out of the dungeon. And so he's in a nicer part of the prison for a while. But even with that, it is really, if you read kind of between the lines, it's more of a fear of what God might do because of the way the nation of Israel is treating this prophet. It's less about repentance. As far as we can tell, throughout the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations, no one comes to repentance. No one turns their life around because of the message that Jeremiah gives. And yet what you see is for 40 years, Jeremiah is faithful to God in proclaiming this unpopular message. He proclaims it from prison. He writes letters, sends it out. He gives it to the kings. He gives it to the priests. He doesn't back away at all. His message isn't popular. No one wants to hear it. But he knows that God is telling Israel what it needs to hear, Judah, what it needs to hear. And so he's proclaiming this message in spite of all of these things. So he just has a great desire to see God's people turn their hearts around. Did you hear what he was saying? Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee, and thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth into thine heart. And he says, my heart is breaking, my bowels, my heart is pained, it's making noise inside of me. I wonder how often you and I would be able to say that when we see lost people. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah utters one of his most famous passages or statements. He says, is it nothing to you who pass by? Do you remember that phrase? Is it possible that you can watch what is happening all around us and be totally unaffected? Is it nothing to you that God's people have turned their backs on the truth? Is it nothing to you that we are paying the price spiritually, politically, morally, ethically? Is it nothing to you? And Jeremiah keeps proclaiming this. He is just so broken by the condition of his nation that his heart is aching. I don't know about you, but one of the things that bugs me about me, not about you, but about me, is that all too often I can find it very easy to complain about our politicians, to complain about the circumstances of our nation. But all too little am I pained and broken and burdened because the nation around us is crumbling spiritually. I find it easy to complain, and I ought to be pained by it. I wonder if we might learn something from Jeremiah. His great compassion through all of this, being mistreated so often, Jeremiah never ceases to have compassion upon his people. He gives a harsh message because it's the message that God gives, but he gives it with a heart that is broken. And so he is known as the weeping prophet because he is so burdened for the people that are around him. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, not only is his heart affected, but his actions are affected. Then said I will not make mention of him nor speak of him any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. This is that famous passage where Jeremiah says, I'm done. I'm tired of giving out the message, and no one wants to hear it. I'm just not going to give it out anymore. And the Bible says that it became such a burden, a burning in his bones that he could not forbear. He could not hold it in any longer. I wonder, what's it going to take for God's people here in America to finally get to the place where we simply can't hold God's truth in any longer? That it's such a burden that we must share it. Or are we willing to say, well, no one wants to hear it, so I'm not going to talk? Jeremiah couldn't do that. He was so affected by the condition of his nation that he was driven to action. And then, of course, you can see that he has not only a love for the lost, but a great loyalty to the Lord as he's proclaiming God's truth. And I'm going to, for sake of time, get past that because I want to get you to the other great thing that Jeremiah learns. You probably know this verse, Jeremiah 33:3. Call on and show thee great and mighty things. Isn't that a great verse? It's like, yes, we love that verse. We use that verse a lot. But would it surprise you to hear Jeremiah 33:1, just two verses before? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was shut up in the court of the prison. That's the amazing part. When Jeremiah uttered the words, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, he was telling God's truth from prison. We use that verse all the time, like it's this great victory verse, right? And it is a great victory verse. God will show us great and mighty things. But God was saying that to Jeremiah in prison. So when life isn't always going the way we think it ought or the way we would like, it is at that moment that God says, I want to show you some great and mighty things. Hang on tight. God says, I want to show you something from prison. But that wasn't what Jeremiah learned. What Jeremiah learns, and this is repeated over and over again throughout both of his books, Jeremiah and Lamentations, we're going to read in Lamentations chapter 3. It says this. This, he says, I recall to my mind. Therefore, have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you see what God learns, or what Jeremiah learns? Jeremiah spends his ministry in prison. He goes in prison back there in chapter 4, and when you get to chapter 52, the last chapter of Jeremiah, the second to the last verse, you know where Jeremiah is? He's in prison. This is his ministry. In prison, hated and despised because of the message of the Lord, because he loves people enough to tell them what they need to hear. But Jeremiah takes from all of this that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And his compassion is without fail. And great is his faithfulness. Wow. I don't know about you. I'd kind of like to be like Jeremiah. Lord, give me a compassion for the souls of men such that I cannot but utter your truth. So that I am so moved by the lost condition of the world around me that I must tell them about Jesus. So that through all of the frustrations that society puts upon us as Christians, we find God's compassions to never fail, his mercies to be new every morning, and his faithfulness to be great. Lord, make me a Jeremiah. Heads bowed.